You have a Bible, open with me, please, to John chapter 15. I'll be reading the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples.
Well, good morning. Isn't it grand to just be able to meet together on the Lord's Day and always be reminded of why we're here? To have this memorial feast that our Lord instituted so long ago. And we still keep that feast every single Lord's Day. And we're reminded why we're here, that we're Christians, that we're God's children. I think that's just wonderful that we do that. You know, some denominations and other brands of churches and one thing and another, and I use that term respectfully, they feel that if they do this every week, that it kind of becomes old hat to them, you know, that they don't think so much about it, and so they do it quarterly or once a month or twice a year or something like that. But I think it's just grand that to know that the brethren back in the first century, they partook of the Lord's Supper every week to remember why we're here, to remember whose we are, and to remember who we are. But I appreciate so much John's reading this morning. It is about that time of year again. As a matter of fact, I think some in my neighborhood and maybe some of you have already been out tilling up your little patch, maybe spreading a little lime in there, putting some fertilizer to get your soil right to be ready to plant that garden this year. On some of the warm days that we've had, I think some people have been out there. Well, we're going to talk about tending a garden this morning, but we're going to talk about God tending his garden. Now, I have no less than 5 sermons on this text. I'm sure Brother John knows exactly what I'm talking about, and they're all similar in some respects. But there's a couple of things on this I want to dig just a little bit deeper this morning, if you'll let me, and think about some things that are suggested by what our Lord said there so long ago. There was a missionary in Africa, who lived in a modest house on some property with a church building in the middle of town. He had a small generator, and it generated power for the church building and also for the house. One time he had a couple of men visiting with him from a very remote outlying mission point that they supported and went to preach and teach out there. And one of the men was absolutely fascinated by the light bulb that was just hanging down from the ceiling on a wire there. And he asked the preacher, he said, "May I have one of those bulbs?" I'm certain in his own language there. Well, the preacher thought he wanted it maybe as just a keepsake or a trinket of some sort or something like that. So he fished around and he found him and gave him one of his spare light bulbs. A couple of weeks later, the preacher was out in that remote area and stopped by the hut that this man lived in that had asked for the light bulb, and imagine his surprise to see that that light bulb had a string tied around the base of it, and it was hanging in the middle of the ceiling of that hut. Well, the preacher explained to him that he needed electricity and he needed a wire so that that source of electrical power could reach that light bulb and make it light up the way he had seen it in his house. Well, we might grin at the innocence of that primitive person, but in some ways, many times, we're not much better. In John's reading this morning, in our reading this morning, in our text, Jesus is telling a story. He's telling a story that demonstrates the importance of staying connected, of the branches staying connected to the vine. And I want us to see that this morning. Our Lord uses the analogy, and of all of the great metaphors in the Bible, this is one of the great ones, one of the great. He uses the analogy of the vineyard, the vine and the branches. Just as electricity provides the power that illuminates that light bulb on that wire, so does our staying connected to our Lord provide us the power of real life. It gives us, it's the source of true power, and we need to always stay connected to that. Jesus is the vine. His Father God is the vine grower, and true believers, let me say that again, true believers are the branches. And we're going to see that as we go along this morning. True believers are the branches. As branches, each one of us, as branches, we're spiritually alive. But we need to be always stay connected to Him. We need to always be connected to the source of power so that the Holy Spirit can flow through us and keep us spiritually alive. Our text today has three primary messages. One is pruning. Two is fruit bearing. And number three is abiding. And I want to talk about those three things just briefly this morning. And first, I want to talk about pruning. Now, pruning, at first glance, it sounds destructive. But pruning is actually quite creative. If you look back at the original language, the original word in the Greek, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but the original word in the Greek means to purge or to cleanse. In other words, Jesus is saying that by pruning, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to make you clean. I think it's interesting that purging, pruning, cleansing is the first item that comes up in this text. It's the first thing that he talks about. Listen again to the words of verse 2 from the text that Brother John read. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? So it will bear more fruit. The King James Version there uses the word purgeth. He purgeth. That may be a better rendition than what the New King James Version, the ESV, and the New American Standard Version uses. It's closer to the meaning of the Greek word, which has to do with cleansing. Well, what do we know about this pruning anyway? Well, Jesus says that God prunes the branches to bear fruit, to allow the branch to, he prunes the branches that bear fruit to allow the branches to what? Bear more fruit, to be even more fruitful. Listen, grapevines, if left to themselves, and many of you know this, if you've had grapevines in your yard, if a grapevine is left to itself, it just spreads, sprawls all over the countryside, putting out shoots and branches and leaves. And if you don't control that canopy some way, you won't have much fruit. If you look at the grapevines in Southern California, or grapevines that are being grown to produce grape juice or grapes on a production basis, you'll notice that during the growing season, the tenders are almost always out there pruning those vines. And some of the vines, they look more or less like a bush. Why? Because all of that sprawling greenery has been pruned away so that the nutrients and the power that's within the vine itself can bear more fruit. Pruning at first glance seems to be rather counterproductive. It looks like to many that what you're doing is you're pruning away perfectly good branches, for perfectly good parts of the vine. But one that's doing what it's supposed to do. But the thing you have to look at is that this that we're pruning away is not bearing fruit. So this is a perfect metaphor. It's a perfect analogy that Jesus uses here about bearing fruit. That vine is all show and no tell, you might say. It seems to me that Jesus was concerned about his disciples back then as well. And so that's the reason that he told this story, that he said this parable in their hearing. Jesus was not interested in showy disciples back then, just as he's not interested in showy Christians way down here in the 21st century either. What Jesus is interested in is fruit. He's interested in productive branch. He's interested in a productive Christian. Now, my first experience with pruning, I guess I think I've shared this with you before, comes a long time ago, back when I was first in high school. And me and a couple of other boys would hire out to farmers down in Murray County, and we would go out when they needed us, and we would help them do. We would haul their hay in or work in tobacco. Most of the work that we did was in tobacco. As a matter of fact, I have done just about everything with tobacco that you can possibly do. I have set it, I've chopped it, I've primed it, I've suckered it, I've topped it, I've cut it and spiked it and hung it in the barn, all of it. And I've done some other things with tobacco that I'm sorry to say. But back in 1994, I laid that aside, and I think that is the top third best day of my life. That's the number three top best day of my life, is when I put those cigarettes in the drawer for the last time. But getting back to this, I want you to say that one of the things I mentioned there is that we suckered it. Now, a sucker, some of you all know, it's a little shoot that grows up between the tobacco leaf and the stalk. You have them on your tomato plants. Those suckers will never bloom. They'll never have a tomato. But I'll tell you what they will do. They will rob the plant of nutrients and power and water and everything else that it needs to bear fruit. And so we had to go through the rows of the tobacco plants, and we had to break those suckers out of there, because they would take the nutrients from the, and they'll grow and they'll just keep growing on a tobacco plant, but they'll never make a burly leaf that you can take to the sale and get any money for. So we had to take those things out. Let's be clear about it. Pruning is not punishment. It is done so that the tree or the plant can be more productive and that it will be more fruitful. You've probably seen either in person or on TV some of the plantings that you can see down at Walt Disney World. There are some shrub-like bushes that some of them look exactly like Mickey Mouse. There's Pluto back there and Minnie Mouse and some others. They do that by regularly pruning those bushes. And by regularly doing that, they can mold and shape those things into what they want to be. In a similar fashion, I believe that God purges and prunes and cleanses His true believers, and our lives to shape us into what He wants us to be. And that is in the image of His dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what He's trying to do. Sometimes the pruning and the cleansing involves removing sin from our lives, or it involves removing some other distractions that may be taking us away from bearing fruit in the kingdom. And we're going to talk more about that in just a little bit as we go along. Remember that the Father is the vine dresser. He's the vine grower. Sometimes pruning is painful, but over time God is changing us to be more like His dear Son. Sometimes He cuts away the dead wood that might be causing trouble in our lives. Sometimes He might cut off living tissue that's taking away our spiritual vigor. Remember those suckers on those tomato plants and on those tobacco plants that we talked about just a few moments ago. Pruning does not simply imply spiritual surgery. It is not just for the removal of what is dead. Sometimes the good and the better needs to be removed so that we can enjoy the best, the very best of life, to be a true believer of Christ, to truly be a branch connected to the vine. So first, there is pruning. Secondly, I said we're going to talk about fruit bearing. Well, what is meant by fruit in our text? Well, some suggest that fruit bearing is going out and bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ. That would certainly be a worthy application, and I think in many cases, ultimately, that's what happens as we're pruned and shaped into the image of our dear Lord. But I think that if we look carefully, the text actually implies something else here. It's not just that. It seems that the application is speaking of spiritual life. Spiritual life that's flowing through the vine. And this spiritual life produces spiritual fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if you will, to the words of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 that Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia back then. It says, but the fruit, and I want to point out here, I always do, fruit is singular. This is a fruit that has all of these attributes. That's what it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Let's always remember that the fruit that we bear as Christians is not something that we use ourselves. The fruit we bear as Christians, we bear that to give. We bear that to serve others. A true branch united in the vine will always bear fruit. A true branch that is united in the vine will always bear fruit. Fruit isn't always bringing a lost soul to Jesus Christ. Fruit might be sending a card to someone who is lonely and can't get out and be around people. Sending a card is sending a card to someone who is grieving, or nourishing someone by taking them a meal and maybe sit down and eating that meal with them. This is also fruit bearing in the kingdom. The true branch united in the vine will always bear fruit. And not every branch bears a bumper crop, just as not every field brings a bumper harvest. I remember Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, and others, parable of the sower went out to sow, and others fell on good ground. And it brought, and it yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Not everyone yielded the same, and that was just fine. But there's always fruit where there's life. So number one, we have pruning here. Number two, we have fruit bearing. And then number three, I want to talk about abiding just a little bit here. In verse 4 and 5, he says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And the paragraph that follows in our text today, in the very next verse, verse 9 in chapter 15, talks about inviting you to abide in his love. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That abiding is an interesting word, and we've talked about this before. Meno is the Greek word. Meno. M-E-N-O, it would be spelt in the English, meno, and it means to abide. But it doesn't necessarily mean, in the original language, to live. And I've used this as an example. If you ask me where I live, I'd say we live at 1037 Notting Hill Drive in Gallatin, Tennessee. But I'm there sometimes, and I'm not there sometimes. Sometimes we're gone. We're somewhere else. But in this word, this Greek word, meno, that is translated here, abides, it means that you are always there. It means that if somebody comes looking for you, they can always find you there. That's what this idea of abiding is. I think it's interesting that Jesus used first that phrase, abide in me. He used it first in this parable right here about the vine and the branches. God made it, you know, he's God's word is clear that we're called to be transformed into the image of Jesus and to abide in his love. And the more that we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. And the more fruit we bear, the more the Father has to prune us to keep the quality up with the quantity. It was in connection with the parable, this parable, that the Lord first used this expression. The biblical image of the vine conveys a deep sense of the connectedness that we need to have with Jesus. The connectedness that we need to have with him. The better we are connected, the more we are transformed. Suppose someone just walked up to a grapevine and just hollered at it and said, "You start bearing fruit right now." What would happen? Nothing. You could come back next week, that grapevine's going to look substantially just like it did. But if the vine grower has done his job, and the branch is connected to the vine, then it will bear fruit. That's the point he's making here. It cannot bear fruit. It cannot not bear fruit. It will. Did you notice the passive response to our part is the production of fruit? That's not the active response. That's the passive response. Listen, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The command here is not to produce fruit. The command is to abide. The command is to abide in the vine. And what he's saying is, if you abide in the vine, you will bear fruit. Just like a vine on a grapevine. As long as it abides in the vine, it will bear fruit. It just comes naturally. He produces fruit in us. If we abide in Christ, we'll bear fruit. We do not have to work at it. We do not have to agonize over it. It will just come naturally to us that we'll bear fruit. We don't have to struggle to produce the fruit. The vine brings it about naturally. I think that's the greatest story, the greatest lesson that we can get out of this parable of the vine and the branches, is that of abiding in the vine. That is the command that Jesus gives here. He doesn't command us to bear fruit. He commands us to abide. And he says, if you abide in the vine, then you will bear fruit. And my Father will prune you so you can bear more fruit. What a perfect analogy that we have there. When we abide in Christ, he opens our spiritual eyes so that we can see what he's doing and where he's working and know what's going on. In verse 5, he said, for without me, you can do nothing. Will we ever fully grasp that thought? That without Christ, we can do nothing. Without the vine, we can do nothing in God's kingdom. Beloved, we cannot conform or be in his image. We cannot produce his likeness unless we abide in him. We must always be there, not coming and going, not going over here and partaking of a sinful nature a while, thinking, oh, we're going to come back and we're going to abide. No, abiding means you're always there. It means we're always in the vine, always in Christ. We're always connected to him. And I think this is one of the most important lessons that we can learn in all of the teachings of Jesus, that we need desperately to stay connected to him if we want to go to heaven someday. I know there might be someone here this morning that's outside of Christ. You've never been baptized. You've never named his name. You've never had your sins washed away. You've never had your name written down in heaven. You've never been added to the New Testament church. Then you need to do that. I mean, do it now. Do it. Just like Nike says, just do it. Let's just do it before we leave here today, so that you can go to bed tonight knowing that you are in the vine and you are connected to the vine. And if you stay connected to that vine, the power of the Holy Spirit will flow through you and it will make you a spiritual being. It will give you spiritual life. If there's someone that's just strayed away, maybe you've left God, you don't feel as close to him as you did, and you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever your needs are, won't you come now as we stand together and sing?